Yeah, take it away for Matt, who will be talking about UX patterns in local first, which I know can definitely be a challenge, so I'm curious what we will learn.
Alright, so we've talked a lot about CRDTs, we've talked about CRDTs, we've talked about really complex stuff, but what about the end user? In the end, that's what we care about, right? We want users to be able to access applications and have their data and have it in a consistent way that they can understand what is going on. So my name is Matt DeRocher. I am a front-end developer, and I spend a lot of time volunteering in Tanzania, Africa. And so that means that internet connection is not usually very stable. We use cellular data for everything, and you pay by the megabyte. And so I'm really careful with data, but people there are even more careful with data than I am. They generally keep the network status off on
their phones, and if they need to make a Google search, I've seen this many times, they will go into the settings, turn on network data, make the Google search, find the result they want, and even before they actually look at the page, they go and turn the data off so all the stuff in the background doesn't suck up their data. So they're really careful and cautious about how they use their data. And again, we use cellular data for everything. You got a laptop, you use a hotspot. You buy home internet, and it's really just a hotspot that you connect to the cellular network, and it works in your house. There's a few other solutions, but generally, it's a cellular network, which used to be really fast when I first started going, but more and more people are coming online. I think that's a good thing. But it also means that the infrastructure of cellular networks isn't quite ready for it, and it's gone down. And over there, if there's a football game going on, you know it, because you can't use the internet. Because everyone's trying to stream it, and you just give up and do something offline for the rest of the night, because the whole network just goes way down. And sometimes, unfortunately, the government can shut down the internet completely. And so I've experienced a lot of apps that will say, please connect to the internet to access this. There's one, a really big audiobook provider, whose app would just show this. No matter what you were doing, if you just opened up the app, it popped up the system-wide notification. I wasn't connecting to the internet. I didn't ask for anything on the internet. I had stuff downloaded, but it just was asking for that. Now, since then, they fixed it, but still, that's an annoying thing. I wasn't trying to do anything online. Why are you asking me to go online? Now, a lot of apps, they don't handle Li-Fi very well. And that's just a fun way to say, you think you've got internet connection, but you really don't. And we've all experienced this. You're in the train, you're down in the basement. Yesterday I was in the H building in the basement. You couldn't get any internet connection there. And unfortunately, the conference Wi-Fi sometimes is good and sometimes isn't. So you think you've got internet, but you don't. And there's one app I've used. Again, you've got content downloaded offline. But if it thinks you're going online, it stops everything until it can refresh everything from the server. So the answer for that, trick it, go into offline mode, let it reload everything, you're in a good state, and then you can put it back into the internet mode. It doesn't do well in transitioning. Sometimes you don't know if content's available online or offline. So these apps, they all have offline capabilities, but they are offline last and not offline first. It's an afterthought to them. So we're going to look at some examples about what we can do to try to make this better. These will be pretty quick, and they'll be pretty basic. They're mostly just wireframes to make you think about what you could do better. So we've got uncompleted tasks. This is something you started offline, but you can't finish offline. We don't hate the internet. We believe in going online, but there's just some things that you absolutely have to do. It's already been talked about. Messaging apps. So we've got a messaging app, and we're offline. And I type a message, and I say, send it. Of course, it can't send because we're offline. But how do I know that? What do I do in the future? Even if I go and connect, I have this little icon here. I can't do anything with that icon. But if I go down here, and this is based off some real messaging apps that I've seen, I can click on it, and it says, oh, it failed to send, and I can retry. But if I have multiple messages, I have to go into all those conversations and retry them again. So what can we do better? Well, we're offline. And now here you can see we've got an outbox. So if I even go into different messages and send different conversations, they're all available in one place. And so when I go online, and now I don't automatically send them. Sometimes you might decide that. I decided with a messaging app. You might have changed your mind since you first typed that. Or you might want to see if someone has sent you a message. So it may not be the best to automatically do everything. So we have the concept of an outbox in email. What if we had an outbox in your messaging? And now I can hit a button and say, retry all, and then they will send. Loading new content. This is one that you can experience a lot. You've got content offline, but you have new content coming in from the server. What's that going to do? So right here, we've got our different examples. I'm going to try to connect to something by saying, oh, I actually want to read this one, but they jumped away. Why? New content loaded, and it pushed everything down. So what can we do better? Well, very similar. I decide that I'm going to connect online, and I'm looking at something, and it tells me new content is loaded above. This is a simple UI change. And now I just scroll up and to see that, and it doesn't automatically push my content down. Syncing to and from remote. You've got some data offline, some data that's on the server. Sometimes you're always going to keep that up to date. Sometimes you're going to partially sync that, and some data will only be available offline. How do we communicate that? So we've got a list here of articles. I'm going to try reading this one. Oh, document not found. There is no indication here in the list that this document wasn't available to me offline. So what can we do better? We did several things here. First one, you actually can't see on the screen. I want to notify that. I made the ones that are not available offline in a light color of gray. Now, that's not usually a great way to do it, because we've got people with accessibility issues that can't notice and see, or on a screen like this, and you can't tell that some of these are gray or not. So you can use that as a hint, but don't only rely on that. So we also have made it, one, you can't click on these. If they're not available offline, they're not available offline, so you can't click on them. Then we added status indicators, not just a symbol, because a symbol doesn't always mean anything to someone else, but you hover over or click on it, and it will give you the state. Also, we have one place here we can see everything loaded. So if we connect and go online, then you're going to see that everything's starting to sync, and then we can go in and see. Another one, multiplayer changes. We've talked a lot about multiplayer today. It's one of the tenets of Local First. Even if it's not multiplayer for other people, multiplayer is you when you have a laptop and a tablet, and you're trying to work on the same application. So here we got a form, and then all of a sudden you realize that someone else can be changing content on your form, and if you're not watching close enough, you're not going to realize what has changed. And I actually had someone bring up this example to me, because they had customers who thought the database was corrupting their data, because they had data there and it was gone. Well, no, someone else edited it. So what can we do to make this better? Well, we can give a little bit of a hint with a last edited by, and then you can also view the history, and then you can revert changes if you want. So takeaway number one, communication is key. We love the idea of technology that's magic, technology that works in the background. You don't have to think about it. Some big tech companies like to do this, but unfortunately, when it goes wrong, there's no way to debug. There's no way to go further and find out. So don't hide things away. Now, sometimes you can use symbols. I know you can't put all the words out about all the status, about everything. We talked about that video editor today, and that's got me curious, because I don't know how I would solve those issues either. There's a lot going on there. But you need to communicate what is going on to the users. Don't make them guess, and don't only rely on visual cues. Add text somewhere. A takeaway two, this is about UX, which means user experience, not just something pretty, so something that is usable by users. And the only way you're going to know that works is if you test with real users. These examples are just rough ideas. You can see they're made to look like wireframes. So in your app, you're going to have to figure out what works best. And people have different mental models, a mental model for how a messaging app works, a mental model for how a finance app works. And you sort of have to move with that. And so test with real people. And you think it makes a lot of sense because you made it. It doesn't mean it made sense for someone else. So test with real people. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Matt? And I'll pass down the microphone.
Thank you. So is it working?
Recording.
Okay. So in many applications, two people could change the same data. Mm-hmm. And then the approach chosen by many applications is that the last write wins. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that it's too complex to show to the user that there are multiple versions and please merge. So what do you think? How should this situation be solved?
It's going to absolutely be up to the kind of data that you're editing, because there's not going to be one solution for all of this. Google Docs, they're live editing. They're not even offline first, but they do have a history that you can go back through. I bet most people don't use it. I bet most people will just go back and remake that change again. Yet that option is there for people to go back and see why things have changed. Now, it is a little hidden, but the power users do know. And that's, again, you can't always have all the changes right there, but it is hidden away for those people who know how to use it. Sometimes last write win is going to be the best thing. Sometimes, like GitHub, just stopping and saying, look, there's changes. We can't figure them out automatically. You have to sort this out before you continue on. For some things, it might be that dramatic, if it's that important, that unintended changes don't get merged in.
Can I see some other hands of people who might have questions
about
this?
Yes, thanks. Thank you, Matt. Great stuff. I see you put a lot of effort in preparing the slides. Really cool to see them like work magically. And I had an idea. Could you maybe, would you think about collecting those patterns on some website and like
yes.
maintaining a list of patterns?
Yes, I would definitely like to do more. These were definitely made for this presentation. If you look at them on mobile, they don't look very good. I didn't work on that. It's just for this. But I would like to go forward and do more with these patterns.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. I have a question about a conundrum that mm-hmm. I see in the presentation. In the start, you say we have to be careful on how much data we use, right? Mm-hmm. We might have cellular networks. Mm-hmm. We might only be able to send a bit lower, a few bytes.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you want to show as much information as possible to mm-hmm. the end user. So mm-hmm. you want to keep track of a log,
right.
etc. So with Serious Disease, you have the problem that you want to condense data as mm-hmm. much as possible,
yes.
be efficient. But on the other hand, the most user-friendly is the uncompressed log of data where we can have a rollback.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that we can find some middle ground at some point, maybe?
Yes. Now, again, I don't work on CRDTs or sync engines, but a lot of them have a lot of the data. It is there. It's not always very meaningful to a human. But again, you could do lazy loading. Like if you needed to load that data from an external source, it wouldn't load until you hit the info panel. You could even do some clever, they're hovering over the info panel, and thus you start to load it in the background. Again, this is going to vary by different circumstances.
I think one more.
First of all, thank you for the great talk. The slides were very intriguing, and the technology behind that you had the live demos. I was wondering, how do you like convey the expectation to the users? Because as you know, the UX is really building on previous experience.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, many apps don't have this local first approach.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we communicate to the user,
yeah.
look, our app has local first capabilities so that they can expect to be able to open the
mm-hmm.
app while offline and get access to the content anyways?
Uh-huh.
Or they would just think, oh, I can't get to that content because it's internet content requires a
yeah.
connection and stuff like that. If you're not in that scenario where you have constraints and stuff, you may
right.
not have this mental model of let's try to see if there's an offline first, you know?
Mm. That's really good. I don't know if anyone else has ever done this. I've been in Google Docs so many times, and I hit the Command Save button, just because that's what we used to do. And Google Docs actually tells you, if you do it enough times, it doesn't do it every time, it will pop up and say, hey, Google Docs are saved automatically. You don't have to put the Command Save button. So I think that's a way to do it. You could obviously do onboarding things. People skip past those. But it just in time thing like that, where people are trying to hit a save button, and you just tell them, hey, you don't need to. I mean, if not a button, but if you had a keyboard command.
So you're just presented visually, you convey, like, you literally say to the
user. Yeah, you don't have, you just remind people, this is safe. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right, one more round of thanks. And, I'm looking forward to that directory.